Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Hello everyone. My name is Ivan Disaso. I and my wife Olive have got the awesome privilege of giving pastoral oversight to Watoto Church Bugolovi. And it is such an awesome privilege to be part of what God is doing in this city and the nations. Now, today we are winding down the book of Ephesians, which we have been journeying through, and it's been such an exciting journey, such rich thoughts that were penned down by Paul in that book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, we looked at the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 and 3, we saw that though we were dead in our sin, we have now been made alive in Jesus Christ as children of God. And in chapter 4, we saw that in Christ, we are all one. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. That means all racial and cultural barriers are removed when we are in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, 5, and part of chapter 6, Paul was giving instructions to all Christian households so that they are able to live at peace with each other and also so that they can prosper with one another. The second part of chapter 6 is what we are going to be focusing on today. And in this, we see Paul basically explaining to the church in Ephesus about their authority in salvation. Now, wars are usually fought to secure what is valuable. Now, in this walk of salvation, we are at war with an enemy, and that is Satan, whose desire is to steal, kill, and destroy the work of Jesus Christ that is in us. Now, we have to stand in faith against him to secure that which we have gained in Jesus Christ. Now, we have already won the victory. The victory belongs to us. So we need to stand in that same victory at all times. Now, the difference with this battle is that it is a spiritual battle. It is not a physical battle. In fact, Paul said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world." Now, Paul penned this letter when he was in prison. And he endeavored to explain the weapons of the church to them, of the church using the analogy of the armor. And he told them to put on the armor so that they could stand against the wiles of the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after that, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. In mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you so much for your word. Your word that stirs us up to do what is right and to stand against the enemy. I pray that we shall live, Lord God, with a deposit in our lives, that we shall be victorious. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Paul was encouraging the church in Ephesus to put on the armor of God. And he started with the belt of truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, he's saying, stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, Paul spoke to the Christians in Ephesus to embrace truth. Now, there were lies between the Jews and the Gentiles, that the Gentiles were not heirs to the promise and that they could not receive salvation or be children of God. Paul made it clear that they, the Gentiles, were also heirs to the promise, just like the Jews. Now, today, many we are bombarded with lies and facts, and people keep telling us that we are not worthy. People keep telling us that we are not Christians when we have made a mistake. And the others will tell us that there are certain rituals which we have to fulfill in order to become Christians. And if you've not been, that means if you've not been able to fulfill all the rituals, then that means you cannot gain salvation. But all that is not true, because salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Simply put, salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Now, Adam and Eve had everything. They enjoyed the glory of God. They enjoyed the peace and shalom of God. But they were deceived and they believed the lie of Satan that affected their relationship with God. They began to doubt God, and at the end of the day, they lost their place in that beautiful garden of Eden. Let us believe the truth of God's word. Let us hold on to the word of God. Let us not waver from the word of God. John chapter 8 verse 31 says, if you remain in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth of God's word. Know what God is saying in each and every situation, and you will live a victorious life. Secondly, Paul encouraged the church in Ephesus to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, Paul was encouraging the Christians, both the Jews and the Gentiles, to hold on to the righteousness that they had received through Jesus Christ. Now, righteousness starts with salvation in Jesus Christ. Righteousness is right standing with God. When we are saved, we gain right standing with God. But many times people do not want to have anything with God. And they believe that with their own righteousness, they can gain salvation. But with our own righteousness, we will be exposed to the attacks of condemnation from the enemy. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Your good works cannot save you. As Christians, our righteousness is not our own. Our righteousness is placed upon us as a gift from God. Why? Because He loves us so much. God loves you and I. He doesn't want you to fail in life. He doesn't want you to be lost in life. It is only Jesus' righteousness that qualifies us for heaven and protects us from condemnation from Satan. Give your life to Jesus Christ and you will receive salvation. You will receive the gift of salvation that qualifies you for eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When we have the righteousness of God, we have new life in Him. And because we have right standing with God, we shall have authority against Satan and against his schemes. Thirdly, Paul encouraged the church in Ephesus to have their feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And he said in verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, Paul was encouraging the church to hold on to the gospel of peace. Why? Because during that time, the Jews and the Gentiles were in conflict. The Jews looked down upon the Gentiles as those that had not been chosen by God and therefore did not deserve the grace of God. And Paul was telling them that, hey guys, please hold on to the gospel of peace, because the gospel is the story of God's love for all mankind, Jews, Gentile. It doesn't matter which country you come from or what race you are from or what tribe you are from, God loves each and everyone the same. God's love is abundant love. God loves and cares for each and every one of us. And you see, when you are loved and when you've been loved by God, when you experience the love of God, you will also extend that love to others. And that same love reconciles us to each other. But also, the love of God reconciles us to God. Because through Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross, which was actually a demonstration of God's love, we are reconciled to God. So what should we do? We should give our lives to Jesus Christ so that we can be at peace with God. That means there'll be no more war between you and God. And then we should also, we who have been called to live by this gospel, share this gospel with our neighbors so that they can also be at peace with God. Paul also told the church at Ephesus, fourthly, to put on the shield of faith, to take up the shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, Paul encourages us to take up the shield of faith. We receive our salvation by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you and I on the cross so that we can receive salvation. You do not have to pay for your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will receive the gift of salvation by having faith in him. But guess what will happen? You will live a victorious life, because when Satan throws lies at us and also brings suffering against us so that we can doubt God, we shall stand in faith against him and be victorious. One of the great examples is Job. Job, in spite of his suffering, did not doubt God's goodness. In the end, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. He continued to trust God and did not waver, because he knew that God was his anchor. Let us continually have faith. Even when situations get so difficult for us, let us continue to have faith in God and what he has said in his word. Do not give up. And then, fifthly, Paul encouraged the Christians at Ephesus to have the helmet of salvation. He told them, take the helmet of salvation. Now, Paul was emphasizing the helmet, and he likened it to the hope of our salvation. Now, Satan's plan is to make us lose our hope in salvation. He wants to make us feel hopeless and discouraged so that we can lose the battle. Have you ever seen a discouraged Christian? A person who does not have hope? A person who has stopped looking up to God as his anchor and great strength? That person becomes an easy target to Satan. But Paul was encouraging the Christians to continue to have hope in Jesus Christ. And you know what? This hope is not just for now, but forever and ever. You need to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a snapshot of who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, because you have been bought at a price, and therefore there is nothing that can snatch you away from God's hand. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are an heir to the kingdom of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. So stop looking down on yourself and thinking that you are nothing. God took time to make you because you are valuable. Everything that pertains to the kingdom of God, if you are a child of God, it all belongs to you. And you will dwell in the house of God forever. Your portion is the kingdom of God. If you are a child of God, the best belongs to you. So don't make permanent ungodly decisions for temporary problems because you're going through difficult times and you make permanent dangerous decisions that will destroy your life. Keep on keeping on. Stand on the word of God. Have hope in Jesus Christ, and he will see you through. And then Paul also told the church in Ephesus to take up the sword of the Spirit. And he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Paul was encouraging the church in Ephesus to trust in the word of God. It is the offensive weapon that we have. Jesus actually defeated Satan using the sword of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, we see this account. In verse 3, actually, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered with the word of God. And this is what he said. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wow. The devil did not want to give up. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in his hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, do you know what? Even the devil knows the word of God. So we should read the word of God and know the word of God and understand it so that we can counter his lies. Because sometimes the devil will use the word of God and twist it to destroy you. But hey, if you read the word of God and place it in your heart and meditate upon this word of God, it will enrichen you and you will be able to stand against Satan and his schemes. Paul also encouraged the church at Ephesus to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And he said, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So Paul gives prayer special attention because it's foundational to taking our stand in the gospel against the attacks from Satan. If we pray, call on the name of God, we shall be saved from the attacks of the enemy. We shall be victorious from the attacks of the enemy. We may not stop Satan from actually coming against us. He will always keep coming against us, but we shall always have the victory against him through Christ Jesus. So I encourage you, keep praying. Keep calling on the name of God. What situation are you going through? Keep praying to God. Ask him to help you. Do not fear. He's always inclined to his ear to those that call on his name. Call on the name of God. Cry out to him. Speak to him and tell him, hey God, I'm going through this difficult situation. Will you help me? And surely God will come to your rescue. He will give you an answer. So you see, Paul says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers for all God's people for the preaching of the gospel. I'd like to encourage you out there. Pray. Take time and pray. Do not give up. Situation might have taken some time, but keep on praying. I am reminded of Daniel, who had to pray for 21 days before his answer came. As he prayed, the angel that was bringing his answer was able to gain victory over the enemy. Let us keep praying. Saints, as I close, let us wake up from our slumber. Let us put on the armor of God as soldiers and go forward in the battle. And with these weapons of our warfare that Paul talks about, he says, let us stand in the truth. Let us hold on to the righteousness that we have received. Let us have hope in the salvation that we have received. Let us hold on to the word of God and also pray in the Spirit so that we can secure the promises of God in our lives that the enemy wants to steal from us. James said, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Since we have got the victory in Jesus Christ, and we have won the battle. But if you are there, and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you will always lose the battle against Satan and his schemes. But when you commit your life to Jesus Christ and give him your life and have faith in him, you will win the battle against him. You will be victorious against Satan and his schemes against you. You do not have to lose the battle. Jesus has already won the battle. All you need to do is stand in the position that Christ has already won for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ this very moment. Do not hesitate. Come on, let us pray together. As you commit your life to Jesus Christ, let us pray together. Just say, as you repeat after me, and say, Jesus Christ, I give my life to you today. Forgive me for the sins that I have committed. I am so sorry. I invite you, Jesus, into my life. Come and be my Lord and Savior. Satan, I'm not yours anymore. I belong to Jesus. And today, I know that I am a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen. Amen. Hey, if you've just given your life to Jesus Christ, I'd like to encourage you to contact us, and we shall surely reach out to you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.